When same-sex marriage became legal in Iowa, the door opened to same-sex weddings. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Whether you have a bride and groom, two brides, or two grooms, a wedding takes a lot of planning and, more often than not, a lot of money. In the next hour, planning a same-sex wedding. Beau Fodor is one of Iowa's leading gay wedding planners. He'll take us through the steps and some of the challenges of planning a same-sex wedding. We'll also talk to a longtime couple from Newton who decided to make it official when the law changed. And we'll take a look at the economic impact of the gay wedding industry. We'd love to hear your stories as well. Have you taken advantage of the change in the law? Maybe you have a wedding coming up. What obstacles did you face when you were planning? Join the conversation after this news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It has been over a year since the Iowa Supreme Court decision that made same-sex marriage legal in Iowa. Since then, many brides and grooms from the state and from around the country have made it official in Iowa. Today, we're going to talk about planning a gay wedding, some of the special challenges that come with creating new traditions or molding old traditions to fit a same-sex union. We're also going to talk about the economic impact of same-sex weddings, and we'd love to hear your story. Have you and your partner taken advantage of the new law? Have you decided to tie the knot? What obstacles did you face in planning your wedding? Maybe you have a wedding coming up. What did it mean to you to be able to marry? If you're involved in a wedding-related business, do you serve same-sex couples? Why or why not? Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today is Beau Fodor. He's the proprietor of Panache in Des Moines, and he is, in his words, the Midwest's premier and exclusive gay wedding consultant. Hello, Beau. Well, maybe Beau is not with us from Des Moines yet. Okay, he's not with us yet. He will be with us shortly. We also have with us today Lee Badgett, who's a professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts, Amherst. She studied the economics of sexual orientation. Hello, Lee.
Hello, I'm here.
Great. It's delighting. I'm delighted to hear you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you a little bit about the economic impact of having legal same-sex marriage in Iowa and, of course, elsewhere around the country. Obviously, you live in Massachusetts, so that's been a place where you've been able to study that. How big a business is the gay wedding industry?
Well, weddings overall are a big business, as you probably know. I mean, there are many different types of businesses that benefit from marriages, from weddings, whether it's florists or caterers, restaurants, hotels. A lot of local businesses are particularly interested in weddings. And gay weddings are really no different. They are very similar, from what we can tell, to different sex weddings in a lot of ways. People want to invite their friends. They want to invite their relatives from out of state. So there are the same kinds of spending happening. People buy flowers and hire hire caterers and rent halls. So all of those things are very similar. I think one thing that's a little bit hard to know is how much people will spend. I think at this point in history, when we suddenly open up marriage to gay couples, pretty much what we're seeing are couples who've been together for a while, in some cases for a very long time. And so they may not have as big a wedding, or they may not spend as much on weddings as other couples do. In Massachusetts, we did a study about a year ago and asked couples who had gotten married to same-sex partners, how much did you spend? And some people spent a lot, and some people didn't spend much at all. And the average was about $7,500. So if you kind of put that into perspective, the average wedding before the recession in the U.S. was somewhere in the $28,000 to $30,000 range. People spend a lot of money on weddings. I think that spending has been cut considerably during the recession, and the industry reports are much lower now, more in the 20 and below range.
Right. Well, and if it's a same-sex couple who've been together for a long time, these are adults making decisions based on their own economics. So
yes, indeed. Yes, that's right. It comes out of your own bank account or credit card when you're in your 40s or 50s. But that's a piece of it. But, you know, a lot of times people had already had commitment ceremonies and other kinds of things when they couldn't get married but wanted to affirm their relationship. So for instance, I know a lot of people in Massachusetts who chose to get legally married on the anniversary of their commitment ceremony or something like that, or who kind of saw that commitment ceremony as being, you know, the important step in their relationship, where they made that public commitment. So they didn't want to spend as much money. They didn't want to go into debt to spend a lot of money on a formal wedding.
Have you seen businesses that start because same-sex marriage becomes legal in a place?
You know, not so much brand new businesses. Certainly a lot of businesses are now advertising to the gay community that did not. So if you go to the Gay Pride Festival in Boston, for instance, there are lots of businesses, hotels who, you know, cater to mainstream business, the business sector, as well as other heterosexual couples who are getting married. And now they're saying to gay couples, you know, we have the perfect spot for you. So that's the main thing. Yeah, and even before, you know, weddings were legal, marriage was legal, these commitment ceremonies had also spawned a bit of a cottage industry in places like Vermont. With civil unions, they had also done a lot of outreach to out-of-state couples to try to lure them in to have a romantic civil union ceremony in Vermont in the fall to see the leaves.
Well, a business that did spring up in Iowa is Panache, and Beau Fodor is the proprietor of the business. He is, in his words, the Midwest's premier and exclusive gay wedding consultant, and he can hear us now in Des Moines. Hello, Beau.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
So you were already living in Iowa when the Supreme Court decision was made. When did you find out about the decision?
Literally that morning, there was a break in like the Martha Stewart show, and they announced it on the news. And within a couple of hours, I just started thinking about it would be an awesome opportunity to throw caution to the wind and put all my eggs in that basket. And now I'm really grateful that I did that.
You weren't a wedding planner before.
Well, I was really an event planner. I had spent several years working for some 501c3 organizations in the Salvation Army doing event planning. And I also did friends and family's weddings as well as some weddings throughout the society in Des Moines. And like I said, that just seemed like a natural transition and to put all my energies into one direction.
Do you strictly serve same-sex couples?
Well, since the April ruling in 2009, I've basically exclusively booked gay weddings. I already had a couple weddings in the works because I have a lot of nieces and nephews and actually doing my attorneys in Colorado later this month. But everything up until now and continuing forward, at least for the next few years, I will be an exclusively gay wedding planner.
How many gay weddings have you done?
Last year, 15, and now 27 as of just the other day when I wrapped up my vineyard wedding. I've been really lucky as far as visibility and being able to be accessible by couples. I have two websites and a blog, and I have traffic coming from all over the country. Right now, I'm even visiting with some grooms from London and a lesbian couple from India.
So that sounds like pretty brisk business. Is that good business for a wedding planner?
Well, a lot of the business is really just Q&A. A lot of people have a lot of questions. And one of the websites here in Des Moines, iowasgayweddingplanner.com, is really a vendor website which just offers information literally from start to finish and everything in between on how people can be married. But there's still a lot of questions because of the legalities and a lot of my work is just really communicating with these couples. As far as providing actual services, it's a very brief window. They arrive and usually within 3 or 4 days are married and happily depart back to home.
Tell me a little bit about the very first same-sex wedding that you planned.
Okay. The very first same-sex wedding was last summer in early May. It was literally thrown together in a backyard over south of Grand. Flowers were not even blooming. We had to get tulips and daffodils from Bozens and literally stick them in the ground. And it was very simple, very heartfelt, good, bad, or indifferent. It was the first media-style wedding that kind of threw me into that whole realization of that this was going to be a big deal, because even though it was just an elderly couple with no budget and in a backyard, the all three local TV stations showed up to check it out.
So it was really one of the first same-sex weddings that took place in Iowa after the decision.
Well, other than what happened at the day that the licenses were actually issued, I believe it was the 27th of April, at the courthouse, there were some of the most profound wedding ceremonies I've ever witnessed. They were extremely simple, literally done on the steps of the Polk County building. And within an hour, I think that there were four different commitment ceremonies that took place. And those are actually my personal favorites. It was a truly celebratory day.
So the elderly couple that was your first wedding that you planned, why did they decide to get married?
Well, they decided because after being together for 30 years and then having this opportunity, knowing that California afforded gay couples the same luxury, but then quickly revoked that along with their marriage licenses. They didn't want to waste any more time, and they thought that it was very important that they did it as soon as possible. And without any real pomp or circumstance, I just happened to be good friends with them and was more than happy to help them out.
So when you're putting together a same-sex wedding, are there special challenges that you encounter in looking for vendors who will work with you?
Well, yes and no. The politics of gay marriage are pretty surreal. Just this last Friday, I was in Washington, D.C., as a representative of Equality Iowa, which sponsored an Equality Federation briefing at the White House on these policies and different policy-making decisions about gay marriage. And being introduced as the Iowa's gay wedding planner was really humbling, and I was very proud to be from our state and talk about this. There's more support now federally than there ever has been before. But the politics of gay marriage are really how they're presented. My couples that come from out of state are coming to be married and to celebrate with their family and friends. They're not here to protest or to be involved in any political statement other than them being here and spending money. I heard your earlier guest mention price points and budgets for their weddings. And I personally have.
Well, we seem to have lost Bo temporarily. We will get him back in a moment. But I want to talk in a few minutes. We're going to talk with Bo and also with Lee Badgett, the professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts, Amherst, that we're talking to today, about wedding tourism and how many people perhaps are traveling around the country in order to make it official and the economic impact that might have in Iowa. That discussion coming up. We'd also love to hear from you with your stories. Have you been a part of a same-sex marriage? Maybe you've participated in the ceremony, or maybe family members were getting married. Tell us your story. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Try to separate them. It's an illusion.
From Iowa Public Radio, I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we're talking about same-sex marriage in Iowa. It's been a little bit over a year since same-sex marriage became legal in the state. We're talking with Bo Fodor, who is a wedding planner based in Des Moines. We're also talking to Lee Badgett, a professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. She studied the economics of sexual orientation. And Lee, let's go back to you. How much are people traveling around the country, gay couples traveling around the country, to take advantage of the few places where same-sex marriage is legal?
We do see a lot of couples traveling. And not surprisingly, in the states that I've looked at so far, most of the people getting married are from those states themselves, and that makes sense because they know that those weddings will be recognized by the state. And most other states, people don't have that expectation. You know, New York's the big exception. They won't let you get married if you're a gay couple in New York, but if you get married somewhere else and come back to New York, they'll recognize you. So there are incentives for a lot of couples to travel. And it's a little bit hard to tell. I mean, I can tell you that thousands of couples have traveled to states, you know, as distant as California in the 6 months or so when gay couples could get married in California. At least 3,000 couples got in a car, got on a plane, and went to California in order to get married. We see the same kind of thing happening in Massachusetts. For a long time, couples had to live in Massachusetts in order to get married there. But once that loosened up a couple of years ago, we've seen more than about 1,000 couples so far coming in to get married from other places. And it looks like, from what I can tell from the figures from Iowa, suggest that there are also a lot of couples coming in from out of state. What I have from the Department of Public Health is really just for 2009, but they reported that almost 1,800 same-sex couples had gotten licenses to get married. And only about 40% of those folks were from Iowa, so that means, you know, at least 1,000 couples have been coming in from other states in order to get married there. And that's just, you know, in the first eight or 9 months or so. So it does look like Iowa has kind of become the Midwestern marriage magnet for same-sex couples. You know, in D.C., we see couples from Virginia and Maryland and from those areas. New Yorkers tend to go to New England to get married. So it looks like people are trying to find places that are close by.
Bo, what's your experience been about the couples that you've been serving? Have a lot of them been from Iowa?
No, actually, about two-thirds of them have come from out of state. The couples that are here in Iowa are very, very pride-filled to be able to do their own weddings. I mean, we have a lot of talented people here, and they don't necessarily need to hire planners or any of the other different vendor services that are out there. And besides, I think that as a destination-focused planner, that I don't really have that opportunity to provide all those services for them that they can provide for themselves.
Okay, so if somebody's planning a wedding, you mentioned some clients from London. If somebody's planning a wedding in Iowa and they live in London, then they really need your help.
Correct, exactly. Whereas the folks that are here in Iowa are quite self-sufficient and definitely have their own ideas when it comes to wedding planning.
I want to take some calls in just a moment, but Lee, before I do, have you actually seen cases of homosexual couples moving to a state because their laws seem to be more gay friendly?
Yes, definitely. We've seen that in Massachusetts. I have a colleague at UMass who moved from, I believe it was from Virginia, because of marriage and the ability to, you know, to be, in her words, sort of fully equal. So there certainly is some of that. And my colleague at the Williams Institute here at UCLA did a study a couple of years ago that did see that Massachusetts attracted more people in same-sex couples who are in what some folks call the creative class. They're the, you know, scientists and entrepreneurs who are important for economic development. So we saw more coming into Massachusetts after gay marriage was allowed than before.
Ruby is on the line from the Quad Cities. Hello, Ruby.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Now, you're a minister?
Yes, I am.
And tell me what your role has been in same-sex weddings.
Well, I've been ordained for 10 years, so I actually did same-gender weddings even when they weren't legal in terms of doing religious ceremonies for folks. But since the law has changed, obviously I've been doing a lot of legal ceremonies in Iowa as well.
And why do you specialize in same-gender weddings?
I don't necessarily specialize in same-gender weddings. I get a lot of folks calling me because the denominational affiliation that I have, for one, is someone, people know that I'm open to that. and I have contacts that way, but I do opposite gender as well as same gender weddings all the time.
What is it like to officiate, especially now that it is actually legal? What is it like to officiate at a same-sex wedding?
Well, one thing that's different I've noticed is that the actual signing of the legal paperwork is a lot more important than it used to be. Even some of the opposite gender couples that I've worked with are a lot more excited about signing their name to a license in the state of, to a certificate in the state of Iowa, because they're proud to be able to be a part of that.
Now, that would make sense, because for a lot of people, signing the paper is kind of secondary to the actual service. But if it's something you weren't allowed to do, that would be a much bigger emotional component. Have you seen weddings where that's made kind of a centerpiece, actually signing that paper?
Sometimes it's actually part of the ceremony, and other times where we were planning like an outdoor wedding, one of the ones I did last summer, it was out in the veranda of a home, and we went into the kitchen where the air conditioning was afterwards because it was hot that day to sign the papers, and almost every single guest at the wedding tried to crowd into the kitchen because they wanted to see those signatures going on that paper.
Lee was mentioning earlier that a lot of the people in same-sex couples who choose to get married have been together for a long time. So they're older people, people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who are choosing
yes,
to get married. Okay, that's what you've seen as well?
There's been a lot of backlog, especially in the past year. It's been people who've been waiting for something like this to happen. But there's still people who are just now planning ceremonies or just now coming into the state. I just talked to a couple this week. They're going to be getting married in September on their 30th anniversary of the original church service that they had when they got married and had a religious wedding. And now they're going to have a legal wedding on their 30th anniversary.
All right. Well, Ruby, thank you so much for your call.
Sure.
Thanks a lot. And Lee, I want to ask you before we let you go, when a same-sex couple makes it legal, when they sign those documents, does that change the couple in any way as far as stability or their economic impact on the community that they live in?
It looks like it does. What we heard from couples in Massachusetts was that they felt like the weddings and that public recognition enhanced their sense of commitment to each other. And really, maybe more importantly, it changed how other people saw their partners who are now their spouses. Their families treated them more like members of families. Couples reported that their children were better off. They did talk about things that I think will lead to perhaps greater stability. Although, like I said, these are couples who've been together for a pretty long time. The other thing that many couples mentioned was that there was some very clear practical value to them, even though the federal government doesn't recognize these marriages because of the Defense of Marriage Act. Couples still found that they were able to get benefits from their employers, and in some cases, state-related tax advantages. So those are things that will have a larger economic effect as well. If you now have your spouse's employer covering your health insurance, and you've got thousands of dollars you can spend on something else, whether it's saving for your kids' college education or buying a new car. I mean, and in that sense, it can have a larger economic effect as well.
There are many people who argue that this is just an economic blip. It doesn't really make a sincere or serious impact to the economy of a state. What do you think about that, Lee?
It really depends. I think for the businesses who are struggling right now to find a new source of income, a new source of business from same-sex couples, they're going to be very happy, and that's certainly going to save some jobs. This is not going to pull us out of the recession. I mean, that would be a pretty tall order, but it will make a difference for some people, and I think that positive effect is something that's very real.
All right. Thank you so much for your time today. Lee Badgett is a professor at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. She studies the economics of sexual orientation. Beau Fodor is a gay wedding planner in Des Moines, and he will be with us through the next half hour as well. Please join the conversation, 866-780-9100. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we are talking about same-sex weddings, what it takes to plan a same-sex wedding, how the industry has sprung up in Iowa since the Supreme Court decision that made same-sex marriage legal in the state, and we'd love to hear from you with your experiences at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tell us about your wedding or a wedding that you've been involved in. Tell us what it means to you if you did get married to actually be able to sign that commitment paper, make a legal document out of it. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. With us right now is Beau Fodor. He is the proprietor of Panache. He is a gay wedding planner and consultant in Des Moines. And Beau, we're going to take a call first before we continue our conversation from Cindy in Fertile. Hello, Cindy.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Hello. Yes. Uh-huh.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm the mother of a bride and a future new daughter-in-law, and I don't really have a lot to comment on except that I'm proud that Iowa will allow my 25-year-old daughter, who just graduated from Iowa City, well, actually Cornell College, and her partner, who's a grad student. So they're a young couple, and they are going to be married next May. And I just wanted to mention that I have good friends that live in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and they are quite frankly surprised that Iowa was one of the states to pass this law, and I just think it's great for my daughter and her future.
All right. Well, thank you, Cindy. Have you run into any challenges in planning the wedding?
No, they're doing it mostly themselves, so I don't have a lot to do with it yet, but I'm looking really forward to it.
All right. Well, have a wonderful time.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much for your call, Cindy. Beau, with the people who you are working with, your clients, are there any special requests that you're hearing frequently, trends in gay weddings?
Not so much. I mean, there's a huge wedding industry that's very visual these days. A lot of reality television on all the major cable channels are showing weddings that couldn't be more diverse. And I think that the brides and grooms, at least that I'm visiting with, are very educated consumers. And people know what they want. It's with logistics coming here to Iowa. They just need somebody to create that vision or that environment for them. And I don't really see that much difference between straight weddings and gay weddings other than homophobia, which fortunately for me, again, I try to not focus on any of that. I just focus on the family and the love that the couple are sharing and to show true hospitality here. But yeah, there's not that much difference. I get that question all the time.
Have you had to help any of your clients work through problems with their families? I mean, even if they've been in a same-sex couple for a long time, there may be sort of a tacit approval. But this is a very big ceremony. This is, you know, this is the time when you really welcome someone into your family. And I guess it would signify full acceptance of a gay or lesbian relationship. Have you had to help your clients deal with family issues?
Well, with every wedding, there's always been some element of whether it was homophobia or insecurity, whether it came from the brides or the grooms or family members. I think that there's a lot of perception with this issue. And once everyone has gathered, at least by the time the rehearsal dinner takes place, I have a really good sense of where at least the immediate family and the wedding party are at this point. And I've tried to, if there is any sense of insecurity or blatant homophobia, that it's addressed immediately and matter-of-factly, like almost clinically. And I always put it out there that everybody struggles with it. I mean, it's just a fact of life. And once it's out on the table, things are usually quickly discussed and dismissed, and they go on to happily ever after.
Can you give me an example of one of those events? I don't want to violate anybody's privacy, but can you tell me about one particular example?
okay, yes, there was a bride that right before I handed her bouquet for her to go down the aisle burst into tears and said that she couldn't do it. And other than worrying about her makeup, my concern was that she did get down that aisle in as quick as possibly. So I just asked her what the core issue was, that we didn't have time for this. And what it boiled down to is that she had never kissed her fiancé in front of her father. And for her to do that was probably like the biggest issue of the wedding. And for someone like myself who's been out and happily gay since I was about 12 years old, I've really been afforded the luxury of not struggling with a lot of internalized homophobia. But this was a woman that truly had struggled with it her entire adult life as far as what her parents thought of her as a lesbian woman. And it was huge for her. But again, you just wipe the tears, tell them that they're fabulous, and push them out into the spotlight, and they get down the aisle. And when their father sees them kiss their partner and smiles as proudly as that gentleman did that day, everything is fine.
We have a couple on the line right now, Cindy Poehler and Gayla Snook, who live in Newton, Iowa, and they got married after the Supreme Court decision, after a relationship that lasted many years before that. Hello, Cindy and Gayla.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being with us today. Cindy, you start. We'll take turns telling this story. But Cindy, how long had you guys been together before you got married?
11 years.
10 years. We already have a disagreement.
We just celebrated 11.
Oh, okay. Okay. So how did you meet?
I met at a fundraiser, the Lavender Victory Fund in Des Moines. It's an event I went to every year, where they had bands and everything, and there was a gal there that was introducing a new gal to the state, you know, to people that was from out of state. And I got to think, well, I've been single for like 4 years. What about me? So she started. She's like, sure, give me a few minutes, and I'll come up with somebody, you know. Well, I've been single for a long time, and so all of a sudden, she towards the end of the party, she came up and. She's like, I got a name and I got a number for you, and this gal will call you. And Gayla called me a couple days later, and we couldn't get off the phone. We talked all the way till the time I had to go to work. And then when we were gonna find a place to meet, and she couldn't find the place to meet at. So
I'm directionally challenged.
So somehow she could come to my found my house. And we have been together like ever since. So she was going to move to Des Moines, and I could see that wasn't happening. So then I just started gradually, slowly moving over the months to Newton.
Gayla, was there a point in your relationship when you decided this was permanent? Was there a point between you and Cindy where you said, this is a forever relationship?
Actually, it just kind of evolved, and, you know, I don't know. I think the point when it was forever was when the ruling came down and we could actually make it legal.
So you had,
we weren't living in sin anymore.
We were gonna have a day that we never thought that we would ever have. So we were gonna just make that day our day, and it took a year to plan it.
Had there been conversations between the two of you in the past saying, I wish we could get married, or maybe we should go to California or Massachusetts and get married?
Actually, not really going there, but it was like I was not going to have a meaningless commitment ceremony. If we were going to say the words, I wanted it to mean something.
We didn't want to move back to a state that didn't accept us. If we were going to do it, we were going to do it right here.
Where were you when you found out about the ruling?
I was at work, and I was keeping up on it, and I came home and found Cindy in the hot tub and let her know that it came through.
And I knew, and I was dumbfounded. I mean, I couldn't hardly believe it. And she never went back to work.
No, I did.
You did? Well, we met for lunch, and we were making our day. I mean, we were planning that very day. We went into a bridal shop that day. We were being bombarded by phone calls and texts, and a friend of ours said, "Where are you?" And we told her what restaurant we were having lunch at, and she was like right there, and she was just like taking notes. I wanted a horse and carriage. Gayla wanted this. I wanted that. And it was just chaos.
Well, and tell me a little bit about the ceremony that you put together. You had a horse and carriage?
That was what I wanted, because I had four sisters. I come from a family of eight, and I helped plan their weddings and everything. Here they were going to be a part of my wedding, you know?
Yeah.
So
anyway, we wanted to have a simple ceremony. And
with a horse and carriage, that's very simple.
Yeah. But it was kind of, we weren't going to have like a large wedding. So we just had a few important people. I had my dad walk me down, and she had her family members. And we went out to what we call the park, which is Agnes Patterson, because we have two wonderful dogs that mean a lot to us, and it's a beautiful place.
And they were part of the ceremony. And we could have had it in our church, but we wanted to have it outdoors. We wanted it at the Arboretum, where we go every day. They have a goldfish pond. They have a arch bridge. They have, you know, a stream coming down, and they have the gazebo.
But kind of a what I call a quick wedding with a blowout reception.
Yeah. And then we had,
because it's all about the cake.
We had the white carriage, the black horses, the red velvet seats, and it was wonderful. And we got a photo booth, and it was just the DJ. I got a bed and breakfast for my family, for all my family that came to town. They stayed in the bed and breakfast here in town. So.
And we had relatives. My brother, his special friend, and another gentleman were able to come down from California, and they said what made it a beautiful wedding was that everybody could see the love we had for each other.
Did you both choose to wear gowns?
No.
I wanted to wear something that I could wear again. I went to Mr. B's in Des Moines, and I was fitted like a glove to in a black pantsuit.
And how about you, Gayla?
I'm not really a dress wearer, and so we did not go with a traditional wear, and so I kind of went with a flared pant with a beaded
lacy,
top?
Real lacy top, beaded with pearls, yeah.
Because I also wanted to have something that I could possibly wear again.
And that gal helped her in town right here at the bridal, right on the square in Newton. They hugged us. You know, they hugged her.
Because we've had nothing but positive responses from everyone.
We never had any trouble with anything anywhere. Everybody took our money. We had a whole year to pay for everything. You know, but anybody that would take our money, we gave it to them just to get it done and over with.
And you didn't run into any resistance from anyone at venues or vendors?
One person.
Yes.
Just one person.
Tell me about that.
Well, it all started out when we sat down to, we scheduled everything a year in advance, and then as it got closer, the guy at the country club wanted to talk to us about the place settings, so we went in, and then that's when it all started. he kept saying, at normal weddings. You know, he was showing us around the club, and there was a closet, and you know, a coat closet there. And he said, "Do you want to come into the closet?" You know, little funny joke like that. And then these things kept coming about the normal wedding and everything. And finally, Gayla just kind of confronted him on it.
Because it was the Friday just before the wedding, and I went in with a friend because he wanted a final count, and it was just kind of sitting down, and finally after he kept saying normal, I said, can we just call it a wedding? Because it shouldn't matter who's getting married. It's a wedding, and it's a ceremony, you know, of the love for each other. So we kind of, and with the help of Bo, kind of came to an understanding with him.
Yeah, Bo came into our life at the right time, because that's what we wanted him to do for us, was just to handle this guy. But he had me in tears. I was going. This guy at the club had me in tears because I was driving up to the lake, And the guy kept calling us all the time. He just kept calling us all the time. And he called me and he said, normally, like he said, started out, I think, don't take, no, that was another phone call. He just said normally that he dealt with the bride of the mother. Well, you know, my mother's gone. She's been gone, you know, for 5 years. I mean, I wish that he could have dealt with her, he said that, and it just broke me. I went into tears after he said that.
But see, it shouldn't matter who he's dealing with.
I'm a 53-year-old woman. You know, I mean, he shouldn't have to deal with my mother, you know?
Right, right. So. Well, and I'm sure he had had many other weddings with couples who were mature before.
Right, right.
So tell me what it felt like when you actually got to exchange those vows.
Surreal.
Unbelievable.
What was the most moving part of the experience for you? We talked earlier about how for some people it's really the most important part to sign that legal document. But for you guys, what was the most important part?
So many, but we do treasure that piece of paper.
honestly, my most emotional part was a dear friend of ours, as a gift, sang at our wedding, and I knew she was going to start singing. I was walking down with my dad, who he said if I had asked him a few weeks prior, he would have probably said no, because through this process, I came out to my parents and pretty much, finalized everything. Hey, we're getting married. And I was walking down with my dad. I was walking down to meet and join up with the woman of my life, the love of my life. And I just welled up with emotion. So as Pastor Peg was saying the words and the music, and it just all kind of welled up, and that was my most emotional. It's still the whole actually being married is still a little surreal, but
boy, just to have a lot of our nephews gave the speeches, and those kids should have really actually been our ring bearers as children, you know. And here they were, the adults, and they were up there just the one he had been married for 11 years. And when me and Galen went to his wedding 11 years ago, he had asked us to dance at his wedding, and we were like, no, we just couldn't do that because we weren't out like that, But he said, why not, and he just talked about the turmoil that we've had, not being able to be who we are. So that meant a lot. To have the nephews talk about us.
Has being married changed your lives?
Honestly, we have already done better for worse, for richer, for poorer. We have done everything.
Sickness, health.
We have done it all. All it is a little piece of paper that people didn't want us to have or something, I guess.
But it sounds like it was very important to you to get that paper.
Yeah, it sure was.
And that's why we are working with One Iowa to keep it.
Yeah, and you're talking about the paper and everything. When we needed witnesses, we just called out for anybody to sign for us, and it just so happened that her brother was there, and my brother-in-law, and it's so neat to have their names on that paper, Those guys, family.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thanks for having us.
And giving us the opportunity.
Well, thank
Great.
You. Thank you. And good luck to you both.
Well, thank you.
Bo, you've worked with a lot of couples like Cindy and Gayla. Do you find that this is a major emotional experience and a life transition for many of the couples that you work with?
Yes, actually, the whole ritual of what you've been talking about with signing that paperwork is huge. And the usually the culmination of the ceremony, the vows that I've heard are so profound and so heartfelt and wrought with emotion over being denied this basic human right. I mean, I'm not a huge political person or anything, but I do believe that this is a morals issue, and it's immoral to deny human rights. And I mean, back to when we were all in elementary school, we learned that we had the opportunity for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that's all these couples are really asking for. And yeah, I am so grateful to be part of this in this great state of Iowa.
Has it been different than you expected when you thought, I'm going to be the gay wedding planner for Des Moines? Have you been surprised by how moving it is?
Well, I'm surprised really at the visibility that there's just been so much reaction and commentary and people interested and thrilled at the opportunity. I'm in the process of the beginning stages of filming the first season of a reality show called Brides and Grooms. And even though I've signed confidentiality agreements and can't really talk about it, if you Google my name, it'll tell you everything you need to know. But yeah, just the fact that we're going to have our television show around these gay nuptials here in the state is just phenomenal, and it is probably the most exciting time of my life.
Do you have any misgivings about that, though, that this is kind of rubbernecking in a way, people who want to see a spectacle and then putting gay weddings on television could be part of that?
Well, no, not really. I mean, I've thought a lot about this. They came to me well over 6 months ago with the idea, and as we've developed it and the concept of it, I think it's about visibility equaling credibility. And it's not a parody. It's not a Paris Hilton-type reality show. I mean, it's about love, and it's about the journey that these couples have to take to cross the country, as well as the couples that are here in the state that have never in their wildest dreams thought that this was going to be a possibility for them. And just to be able to showcase our state in the best possible light and show that we're not a hate state, no matter what Bob Vanderplaats or Jonathan Narcisse or any of the other homophobes are saying about it. Iowa is a very open-minded and very hospitable state, and that's all I really want to be able to show.
Bo Fodor, thank you so much for your time today. Bo Fodor is the proprietor of Panache in Des Moines. He is a gay wedding planner. And we also spoke today with Cindy Poehler and Gayla Snook of Newton, Iowa, about their experiences. Coming up on The Exchange today, it's Politics Day, and there will be a discussion about the politics of gay marriage in the state and the movement to unseat many of the justices on the Iowa Supreme Court. You can listen to that discussion and join in today at noon. I'm Charity Nebbe. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.